In the U.S. Supreme Court today, arguments will be heard in a case, King v. Burwell, that is challenging the Affordable Care Act. The outcome of the challenge could affect millions of people, and if the challenge succeeds, it will do something that both parties agree is a really bad idea, vastly increasing the number of people with no health care coverage. Both sides in the case agree on this. So why? And exactly what is this all about? Well, that is a rather rich and strange legal concoction you could only have in our current era of angst, ideology, and divisive kill-it-at-all-cost style of governing here in Washington, D.C. To begin, let's remind ourselves that the Affordable Care Act is one of the signature achievements of the Obama administration, whether you agree with it or not.
For as we mark the turning of spring, we also mark a new season in America. In a few moments, when I sign this bill, all of the overheated rhetoric over reform will finally confront the reality of reform.
Oh, that it were so. What did happen? Well, what actually happened was that millions of Americans got health insurance, many low-income families who qualified through federal subsidies that helped them pay the premium. They purchased coverage through special insurance marketplaces set up in their state, or if their state chose for political reasons not to set up a marketplace, and 34 states didn't, they would use a federal marketplace for purchasing coverage and get the subsidy directly from the feds. You with me?
Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
At about this same time, one of the well-funded ideological critics of Obamacare was speaking at a D.C. conference and said that the ACA had to be killed as a matter of, quote, political hygiene. I do not care how it is done, whether it is dismembered, whether we drive a stake through its heart, whether we tar and feather it and drive it out of town, whether we strangle it, end quote. You can find this quote in the current issue of The New Yorker.
Remember, get him alive if you can, but get him!
So this is what they came up with. In Section 36B of the Act, there are four words referring to the all-important subsidies, quote, established by the state, 1, 2, 3, 4. You'll notice it doesn't say established by the state or the federal government. Now, the lawyers challenging the act claim because Congress didn't specifically reference federal subsidies and just spoke about subsidies established by the state, that any direct subsidy is invalid, unauthorized, and therefore subject to cancellation, even though millions have already been granted and people have already been going to the doctors for care under the ACA for months.
It was an assumption made by the press. It was an assumption made by me. I'm one of the people who missed this.
If it sounds like more of a spelling error than a constitutional question, you aren't crazy. That's Michael Cannon from the Cato Institute, one of the people making the case for the plaintiffs in King v. Burwell.
I didn't know about this provision until more than a year after the law was passed. And when I learned about it, like everyone else, I thought this was a drafting error. I thought this was something they did not mean to put in there. But Jonathan Adler and I have done more research on the legislative history here than anyone else, and we were surprised to reach the conclusion that, no, they did mean to do this.
And so this case has stuck, and what was once seen as a trivial word omission is now being called an intended principle of the ACA being violated by the feds. Now, there is nothing in the debate over the law that suggests this principle. The law does specifically authorize federal marketplaces. It just says nothing about subsidies in them. And the fact that this was never an issue during the months while millions of people were signing up for subsidies suggests there was agreement somewhere that direct federal subsidies were allowable under the law. John McDonough at Harvard University, who helped draft the ACA when he was an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy, says this wording issue is an extreme technicality.
The intent is abundantly clear, and the context within the law, the broader context, makes it absolutely clear that there's no other interpretation without creating havoc to the law as a whole, which is, in fact, the principal desire of the plaintiffs in this case.
Lawyers will argue what the intent was today in the Supreme Court. Researchers at the Urban Institute estimate that if King v. Burwell strikes down the subsidies, something that could happen when the court rules in June, it would be a $30 billion hit next year to the ACA. It would make coverage unaffordable for many in the 34 states where there are no state marketplaces, and the ranks of the uninsured would increase by an estimated 8.2 million. Something you'll remember that no one wants, even if a committed core of conservatives wants to get rid of Obamacare any way it can.